We're going to start off in Genesis chapter 12 for tonight's Bible study. And again, I know some of you are going to probably say, well, Pastor, we went over this a couple of different times. Yeah, you might have, I might have, but guess what? You might be finding out something new that the Lord want to show you and share with you. Don't ever get to the point where you think you know the scripture or the chapter so much that you can't see revelation in it. We found that out in Psalms 23 last week, verse 1 and 2. We've been reading that scripture for years. We know it by heart, but we never understood the fullness of it until God opened our eyes on that level. And so what that means is that if he's opening your eyes to a certain level, that means he's taking you and I a little higher. And if you don't see the scripture any differently, that means you don't see anything different. Okay, so let's go to Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to start with verse 1. I'll give you some time to get there just in case you didn't get your Bibles right. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Okay, let's flow here. This is the promise to Abram, which we know that Abram's name was not changed until much later in the chapters in Genesis. But right now he's Abram. Now, verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your household. Now, those of you who've been with us on the 3 a.m. prayer, I specifically said to you that the Lord is going to give us instructions for the next 6 to 12 months. Now, now it behooves you, and I can't control your schedule, your attendance. That's totally up to you. But it will behoove you when you're getting those kind of instructions. That means you need to have your ears nearby. Because if your ears is not near, then you can't hear what the Lord is saying to you specifically. Now, however, I like to be clear. You and I have our own individual instructions that's given. That's why I'm really, really encouraging you and I'm urging you to get before the Lord so you can begin to distinguish his voice for yourself. Yes, I'm the pastor and I govern you as over your household as the Lord's appointed me to and your covering, but you still be able to need to hear what the voice of the Lord sounds like and what instructions are he's giving you. So because the thing about it is, if you don't know it, you're going to be always depending on another voice. And I don't know about you, but there's nothing like a third party resource. There's going to be some occasions that you're going to get instructions that God would just use me to confirm what you received, just in case you're unsure. There's going to be some cases where he'll give it to me straight from the top and then he'll come speak to you and he'll leave himself without no witnesses. And then it might be some cases where you might hear from another sheep, your counterparts among you, and you're going to say, that's truly the Lord. Then you could be able to identify your sisters and brothers. You'll be, oh, wow, they're hearing from the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for using them in my space. So be mindful of it because you don't know how the messenger is going to be used. So Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord said, I said it again, I'm going to repeat it now. The Lord said to Abram, get thee out of the country. That is the first instructions right there. Get this now. This is the first instruction that Abram is receiving from the Lord. Second instructions, from your family. Now think about this for a moment now. It may sound easy, especially if you're not the one giving, receiving the instructions. Now, think about this. Now, Abram, he had a very close knit with his father before his father passed. His father's name was Nahor. He had a close knit with his household, his family, his kindred. So for God to tell him something like that, it was crucial. It was crucial, but it was critical for Abraham to be able to depart from something he only knew he was familiar with, to something that God was trying to show him that he was never familiar with. One of the most difficult things is to detach something that you've been programmed for a very long time, to attach yourself to something you've never seen, never heard, and never experienced before. So what God was really asking Abraham was, detach from your religious practices that you've seen your father do. The economical, the safety, the practical things. So Abraham had to denounce everything, all his resources that his father had. So now he's asking God is asking Abram to denounce your financial security, your household, your country, to a new nation that I want you to begin. Which I don't realize, and as we start to grow into this faith, what we don't realize is that we have, God has citizenship rights for us as well. Because prior to understanding your citizen rights, all we know is what we know. Religion can block you from your citizenship. That's why you heard me say on Sunday, you have a lot of churchgoers, but they never heard the voice of God. So they have gotten so used to and so programmed in religion, they don't know the voice of God. They don't know how to move without that. What I'm trying to get you all to understand and to depend on is to be able to stand on your own two feet. To get to a place where if the pastor has to call you at the last minute, you got a word in you because you're not blocked by religion. You are caught up in relationship. I should be able to get to a place where if a situation occurred, or let's not even say a situation, maybe the Lord want to speak to me and say, I need you to call such and such. They're up. You may not have much time, but then at the point where, are you ready for that? Now, you will be more confident. I will tell you to be honest with you. You'll be more confident when you hear the voice of God regularly. He'll speak to you audible. Some he speak through dreams, but in some cases, he'll just speak to you right directly through scripture. I've had experience with all three. So now he's telling Abram, he says, Abraham, I need you to denounce your citizenship and come over to my citizenship. What he was telling Abram in so many ways is that denounce your religion, denounce what your father have established, and come to a place that I will show you that you've never experienced before. That's what God wants to take you and I right now. But before he give you and I fulfillment and promises, we have to be willing. When I say willing, we have to be willing to denounce everything we thought we knew to what we don't know. That comes to relationships that you are attached with. Got to think about this now. Abraham had to leave household, family, financial security, everything. Because give you some history, Nahor was an idol worshiper. So Abraham was accustomed to that. So in order for God to use him, he had to bring him, take him away from everything he was accustomed to having. Not an easy task, but guys, as I mentioned to you, we're in some crucial times right now because instructions are going to be given in so many different facets. It's just up to you whether you catch it or not. Let me go back here. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to go over this again. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your household. He gave him two instructions. Then the third thing he said was, it wasn't an instruction, but he was letting them know, to a land that I will show you. That's the thing that God is going to do. But before he provide vision for you, some of you are blocked because you don't have vision. Some of you frustrated because you don't have vision. Some of you, you unsettle because you don't have vision. But part of that, if you want the vision of God, in order for you to see it from God's eye lens, you have to be detach yourself from the eye lens you are accustomed to seeing. He says, to a land that I will show you. In verse 2, he says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. The I will was depending on Abraham's decision, whether he was willing to denounce everything he thought he knew to what he don't know. The I will is always a pending transaction. I've said this before, it really depends on where you are willing to do. You have a lot of unwilling folks in the church, and you have very few willing in the church. Now, the other thing is, he goes to verse 4. He says, so Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken to him. Okay, well, praise God. Now we find out that Abraham was willing to denounce. Now, one thing it won't tell us is any time that has lapsed. We don't know how long it took Abraham to move forward. All we see that it looked like it's in sequence that he did it exactly the way God gave it to him. But what we don't know, there's a lapse in judgment here. From time to time, when God gives us instructions, we don't always move as quick as God wants us to move. I've said this before. I'm going to say this again. And it's going to be oftentimes I'm going to keep repeating this. Delayed disobedience is just as disobedience. When you and I hear instructions, what we tend to do, we tend to make excuses why we can't move forward. There's other reasons that happens. I think our emotions get caught up on where we are. I also think fear gets caught into, we get caught into the traps of fear because we have uncertainty on things we're not familiar with. Now, Abraham didn't have an easy assignment. God is asking him to denounce everything he thought he knew, financial, social, identity, to something he'd never experienced in his entire being. That's what God is trying to do to churchgoers. Can you stop being programmed for church and get into a relationship? Verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken to him. Now, this is the thing where it gets a little dicey because it says, and Lot went with him. It gets dicey here because in verse 2, it says, get out of your country from your family. You notice that? Now, one of the things that God would not denounce in your family is your spouse. If you go back to Genesis, he says, man shall leave his what? His mother and what? Y'all, come on, work with me here. And his father. Right? Then he say, man shall leave his and cleave what? To his wife.
Amen. Yes.
So Abraham was not in the faith, but at the same time, it was like God was giving him law before law was established. He didn't tell him to take Lot with him. He said, get from your household, get from your country, and to a place I will show you. Now, just to kind of back it up a little bit, let's spin back to chapter 11. Real quickly. Let me see what verse I want to go. Let me just kind of read it through. Let me go to verse 27 in chapter 11. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abraham and Nahor took wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren, she had no child. But verse 31 is what I'm going to get to. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, and the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, and the son of Abraham's wife, and they went out with them from Ur to the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years. Terah died in Haran. So pretty much Abraham was taking up the father's legacy. See, one of the things is when God tells you to denounce, he wants you to denounce legacy. None of the problems that come across as you know people today is that they feel so pressured that they got to continue on the business of their parents. When I was in New York City working at Columbia Law, I've seen a lot of cultural law school students. They were depressed because they could not meet the needs of the father. If they felt a grade tears would just start rolling down their eyes. They couldn't withstand having to tell their parents that they felt a grade, or they felt challenged that they didn't even want to return back to their native country. They wanted to stay in New York City. So they were stressed, and some of them commit suicide. And I'm saying, because this is what happens, is because of the stress level that the father, back then, it was very critical that you follow your father's legacy. So Abraham, you got to understand what kind of arguments that was going forth when God instructed him to do something. Why would somebody like God tell you to leave your family? Makes sense. But when God get ready to do something, it's because he want to establish something different in you that he didn't do in your past. If God ever speaks to you, that means he's doing something that your forefathers never heard before. He's going to make it so that it's unpopular. Okay, go back to verse 5. And so Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son. See, look at verse 4. Lot went with him. Lot went with him. So oh God, listen, when you don't take full advantage of God's instructions and you only take part of it, you're going to deal with certain things along with it. It's like this. It's like you bringing your past to your future. Those terms don't meet very well. And I understand why he did it. Well, my brother's died, my father's died. Who's going to take care? But that's not what God instructed you to do. Verse 4, and Lot went with him. This is the B clause. And Abraham was 75 years old, and he departed from Haran. Think about this now. This is something that the Lord was dealing with me on. He says, you notice that Abraham was only 75 years to find out his purpose? Look how long it took Abraham to find out who he is. That he had a citizen rights that he never knew at the age of 75. And I'm saying this to you, for some of you thinking you passed well past your grace period and timetable on where you want things to be and how you think things should be. But God was waking Abraham at the age of 75, well past Social Security. So if you find yourself in a crunch where you feel like you're getting older and things looking like it's depleting and things look like it's looking scarce or uncertainty, and you're not where you would like to be, and you're seeing other people meeting those goals at the age of the timetable, that's your timetable. Have you ever asked God, was that his timetable for your life? So I said this too. What comes, rewards come with obedience. Instructions are given before you and I have the opportunity to obey his voice. All right, let me go back here. And then Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and their possessions and all they had. They gathered the people whom they had inquired in Haran. They departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Verse 6, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem. Shechem, as far as the Tabernath tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were in the land at the time. So obviously God didn't show, he said, I'm gonna show you the land, but you sometimes God won't ever give you fully on the details in your moving forward. He will let you journey, and that's the part of the period of time where you got to trust him. And then at that point, it looks like God has left, but he hasn't left. He just lets you go a little longer to build up faith inside of you. I only say this to you because I personally experienced it moving here. And when I got here, everything just didn't just go this way. But at the same time, there was a period of time where it was a little lapse, where I'm still trying to figure out why I'm in Atlanta. Took a job that I didn't really want, but I took it. I took it because I understand that it's my responsibility to make sure that I'm making the ends meet. But there was a period of time where I almost felt like, okay, God, this is not where I'm supposed to be, but I feel defeated. See, now along the journey, I can't tell you exactly how Abraham felt, but I guarantee you, as he journeyed, he felt defeated. Because God don't always come back door and speak to you directly, A, B, C, D. He'll let you go a little longer, and when he's ready to share with you, he will. You and I just have to trust the process, which is most difficult for human beings to do when you don't have relationship and when you don't have any frame of reference or when you don't have understanding of who God is and what his voice sounds like. So Abraham passed through the land of the place of Shechem as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were in there. Well, the Canaanites were there in that land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your descendants," now God is speaking, "to your descendants, I will give you this land." And there were, look, you notice Abraham didn't have any offspring, but he's telling him something in his future before he got there. You don't have anything to show for, but God is speaking to your future, talking to you in your current state, but you don't have the substance to prove that he's going to give you descendants. All you have, or I have, is God's word. That's all we have. That's all we can stand on. It ain't popular, honestly, to hear instructions from God. It's unpopular because he's giving you a word in the season that you're in, but it's for out of season manifestation. Your out of season don't mean the next season after the season you're currently in. Sometimes those seasons can pass. Two seasons can pass. Three seasons can pass. Even four seasons can pass. And so the longer the seasons, the stronger your faith got to be. Because in between God's instructions and the seasons of manifestation, you and I have room to deter or alternate to go a different route that he did not ordain or assign us to do. So what tends to happen is now those seasons can get delayed. Or by the time you get to the manifestation, you can't even enjoy it because you're so wore out from all the journey you took, unnecessary gas you've wasted. The Lord said unto Abraham, the Lord appeared to Abraham. This after a while, we don't know the timetable that God actually started speaking to him again. All we know is from verse 2 to verse 7, God didn't have a word for him. You guys know how it feels when you can't hear from the Lord. I said this on Sunday, and I don't know if you carefully heard what I said. I said that one of the things that I would hate to ever experience that I can't hear from the Lord. It would burn my heart like a loved one had been lost if I can't hear the voice of the Lord. And to be honest with you, there are some occasions where sometimes you might think, okay, pastor, he got a word all the time. There's some cases like Sunday, y'all didn't know, but I gave y'all a little snippet. There's going to be some times you're going to be challenged with this as you are assigned to minister on my behalf or minister other places as the Lord leads you or assigns you to do. But I was in the back and I still didn't really have a clear understanding and direction. Where am I supposed to go? It's one of the most frustrating times that I've had. I don't get them a lot, but I do get them at times. And I believe it seems to me I've been getting a lot of them since I returned back from Miami. As of late, what I believe in my heart, and I just say this to you, when you start experiencing those type of things, that means he's stretching you. He's taking you to another level because this is a level that we have never experienced before. So, in order for you to get to him to trust you, I'm going to tell you something. When you stop hearing, if when you think you stop hearing from God, the project is awesome. I'm telling you, it's awesome because what he does, it's like when he first speaks to you and give you instruction, his voice is on 10, but it's a nice still voice. But as you start to move forward, his voice becomes down to 2. So it almost looked like 10 can be a lie. Let me say it this way. It can go two ways. If you don't hear as much from him, he will lower down his voice to the point that Are you sure you're hearing from the Lord? In other words, you begin to question the first time you heard from him. Now, what you're doing is that you got to take up for what you heard that people are coming against you with. You got to stand on what you heard when people are coming against you, because what they're going to do is tell you you didn't hear from the Lord. You don't have a relationship as you thought you did. They'll begin to question your relationship. They'll question your ministry. They'll be questioned, because I guarantee you, I guarantee you, let have 5 years pass by and nothing has taken place in DCM. Oh, y'all would have came at me so many different ways. He ain't no real. He's just talking. And I'm sitting here listening. How can I trust the fact that he can speak in my life when I don't see no results on his? I'm gonna be honest with you. I truly believe the Lord did what he did for the 6 months period to show you he's real and who he is. Because we have a short attention span. I can give you a word, and sometimes you could just, how soon we forget that you just received the word, but 6 months down the line, you don't see no manifestation. So you just assume, okay, so I guess God ain't speaking to that man no more for my life. Now, have you ever thought about what God want to speak to you for your own life? Now, there's a couple of things I want to share here. I want to move on a little bit here. Let's go to chapter 12, verse 4. I want to read this again, and I'm going to move on. So Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now, I want to go to chapter 13 real quick. Let's move over to verse 1. Then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and look what it said again, and Lot went with him. You see, the other issue is what keeps our relationship flowing like it ought to flow is because we still have attachments or entanglements in our life going into our future. One of the difficult things is to let bygones be bygones. I'm gonna be honest. One of the difficult things is to detach yourself from new citizenships and denounce your old citizenship. What I'm trying to teach you and convey you, and what God is raising us up to get us to a space and a place, is that we have to denounce religion and understand our citizenship, that the kingdom of God is about the kingdom of God. And I've been listening to this for quite some time. I'm gonna say this in the beginning. When I first got saved, when I first got called to ministry, I was full of religion because that's who I had over me. And so religion and practicing and all these different things can delay you from the promises. We could have been doing this for so. Man, I tell you, I wonder if I. And it's a blessing because now you have something to compare to. But for a long time, I was full of religion. You start mimicking behavior that you see. You start preaching the way you think that should be preached, and all those kind of things start happening. But God says, "No, I want you to have your own identity. That's not the way I want you to go about. But I'm gonna let you go down this journey. So when you do get out of this, you'll never, never want to go back to that again." Religion will kill folks, and they get so deep into the word, they don't even hear the voice of the Lord instructing them to do otherwise. You have to always give room for the Holy Spirit to breathe on scriptures. We so programmed that we don't know how to get outside of the confinement of the Holy Spirit. Look, let me go back here. Look, he says, verse 13, chapter 1, chapter 13, verse 1. He says, Abraham went up from Egypt and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him. So this is two separate occasions that Lot kept following him, attaching himself to him. And here's the thing about this, people. When God blesses you, regardless of other people who's in your life that does not serve the Lord, they're going to still benefit of the blessing because of you. So now you got to ask yourself this. Are they with you? You notice that a lot of people who get rich, they go broke because of their entourage. Their entourage is benefiting from them. Once the money goes, they go. Once the status of celebrity status moves, they move. And so is God trying to spare you and I from the kind of heartache? Because still, you're still dealing with relationships. You still love the person, you got them hanging around, because maybe you think you need them along the way. So God was like, even your nephew, let him stay back. I'm gonna tell you, which is a secret here, is because this second verse, when it says Lot went with him, and then it goes in again. Let go to verse 5. Look at verse 5 here. It's chapter 13, same chapter. Look, Lot also went with Abram and had flocks and herds and tents. So you see, he benefited. He had the same thing Abram had. So what we have to really consider that you're going to have people in your life that don't want nothing to do with your God, but want the benefits that comes with God. And they're going to always stay around you to see what they can reap from you. Their association is why they bless, not because of their relationship. It's because of your relationship, and it's because your obedience, it's because you followed instructions, they're going to benefit from you. The other thing I want to point out here, verse 5, let me read this. Lot also went with Abram, had flocks, had herds, he had tents. In other words, he had no lack. Just because he was associated. Verse 6, now the land was not able to support them, meaning Abram and Lot, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. That's how blessed they both were. One was blessed because of obedience. The other one was blessed because of association. Let me ask you a question. What side do you want to be on? Now, I'll be honest with you. Some people were just like, well, I don't want to have to go through the heartache of being obedient, but I like the association. I like the benefits of it. I'm good with the benefits. If I can go into a job and not have to work but get the benefits, I'm good with that. That's for the lazy folks. There's going to be people that you still may not even detach yourself that you should. They're going to be benefiting from you, from your rewards, your obedience. Let me read verse 6 again. Genesis chapter 13, verse 6, just in case you got lost. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not even dwell together. Verse 7, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So verse 8, look what Abraham said to Lot, please let it be no strife between you and me. You see? Now, that could have been avoided. What you're saying, Pastor, why could have been avoided? Had he followed the instructions in Genesis chapter 1, verse 12, that could have been avoided. That was unnecessary drama and argument for no apparent reason. But when you get caught in familiarity, you're going to experience certain things in your past you're going to bring right into your future. If you're not careful. Now, God could have allowed Abraham to do this so we can see not to make the same mistakes. We are never supposed to repeat the same mistakes for someone who already went ahead of us. If you see someone making mistakes, that means you should not do the same thing they did. Follow instructions is so pivotal to your future. I said this on Sunday. One act of obedience can set you up for 10 years. Some act of obedience can set you up for a lifetime. But what can disobedience do? Just the opposite. Verse 8, and Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. So in other words, what we've come to find out, they were arguing. They were back and forth. They probably got into some blows physically. Meanwhile, the reason why Lot's herdmen getting what they get is because they're around Abraham's herdmen. So Abraham's herdmen is not just association. They are connected to Abraham because of his covenant and relationships. Meanwhile, Lot's herdmen is only benefiting from Abraham's herdmen. You see this because these are all associations, but not relationship. There was another thing I want to point out here. I want to go back to chapter 12 real quick, verse 7. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants, I will give you this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord. Now keep that in mind, verse 7. Now let's go to verse 8. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. You see how many times Abram was building the altar? That is a place God's, he's saying, I'm going to honor the Lord right here. This is the spot I'm going to worship him. This is the spot I'm going to give him his praise. This is the spot that I'm going to give him glory. This is the spot that I'm going to sing praises to his name. This is the spot that I'm going to acknowledge him for who he is. What we see here is relationship being established. But there was a couple of verses where every time Lot moved, no altar was established. Interesting, isn't it? Abraham moved, he heard from the Lord, altar was established. Lot moved, okay, we're gonna get there. Let's go here. And verse 8, back to chapter 13, verse 8. So Abraham said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren." Verse 9, "It is not the whole land before you," Abraham is asking Lot, "please separate from me." I believe Abraham was getting frustrated. You know what the other thing was, why he was frustrated? Because in the early verses, look at verse 4, chapter 13, verse 4. Let's spin back a little bit. To the place of the altar which he had made there at first. You see, so what we're finding out is that that altar, God must have spoke to Abraham about something. It don't tell you exactly what all he said, but he obviously said certain things that it was distorting his vision from seeing past where he was. And what happens is people who are in your life can cloud your judgment. And it's not people you dislike, it's people who you love. It's people who you're attracted to. It's people you associated with. It's people that you think you need more than you need God. When you know you're frustrated about something in your spirit, and you go to a place and you have established an altar before the Lord, before your King, before your Savior, you know something is going on that's keeping you from hearing that voice. You know deep down inside, what is it? What's clogging my judgment? What's got me off course? There's not what. Sometimes you got to ask the Lord, who? Who's clouding my judgment? Who is delaying my rewards? Because what I believe in wholehearted heart, your spirit would tell you all the truth that it needs to tell you. Your spirit would know, it'll have a snapshot already in your future, but something in you would tell you, you ain't where you really need to be. So now you have to start to evaluate everything around you to try to denounce. You have to check off the boxes on what you're denouncing. Now, while you're denouncing, don't leave yourself void. You have to start announcing at the same time. That makes sense what I'm saying? Okay. Verse 8, Genesis chapter 13. So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Verse 9, it is not the whole land before you. Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and he saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, and like the land of Egypt as you were going toward Zoar. Verse 11, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Do you notice Lot didn't establish no altar? Look at verse 12. Abraham dwelt in the land of the Canaanites, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. So Lot pitched his tent, but where's the altar? That right there proves what I said earlier. He was there for association, not for relationship. So now we have to beg the question right now. If you can evaluate everybody you have in your life, every person, I know you probably don't want to do it because you're going to have to confront some stuff right about now. I mean, when I say confront, it's going to hurt to confront certain things, certain people, certain places that you have in your life that's just there for association, that they're blocking you from getting your, from you reaching your full potential. How many people in your life today, and I'm speaking to you, Abrahams, how many people in your life right now is blocking you from seeing what you need to see? How many people you brought from your past to your future? How many people you are afraid if they leave that you're going to be alone? We're going to have to confront this at some point, because if we decided that we was going to have a relationship with the Lord, we can't serve two people at the same time. Well, I know that the thought comes, I don't want to step on toes. I don't want to lose friendships. I mean, you know, this journey can be lonesome at times. Absolutely. Absolutely. But you're not really alone as you think. It's your emotions that would tell you you're alone. Your spirit says, no, we're not alone, baby. We've been made for this. We created this. And in fact, if truth be told, as you start establishing a relationship and covenant with God, God will start sending people in your life that's supposed to be in your life. Verse 11, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan. You look at that. Even Abraham gave him an option. Where you want to go first? That's selfish. That's self. See, I don't like selfish people, because he took the pretty side. At least that's what he thought. Abraham gave him an option. He says, look, if you go left, I'll go right. You go right, I'll just go left. What Abraham was really asking him, I can't fulfill my purpose with you in my life. And believe me, think about this now. There was no law in place, but if Abraham is arguing and constantly frustrated and getting all riled up for his nephew Lot, how can he hear the voice of the Lord? Clearly. How can he receive proper instructions when he is polluted with anger and bitterness and frustration? And I mean, he probably felt deep down inside, you only blessed because you're with me. I bet at some point Abraham probably said, you're just around because you're using me. When are we going to get to a point when we become really honest about the people who's in our life? When are we going to get to a point and to confront that thing and say, I understand why you in my life? Verse 11, I'm going to get them. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Verse 12, Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. Let me go down a little bit. I don't want to go through all of this. Let me see. Now, verse 14, look at this now. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated, look at this. Look at the key here. I'm telling you, man, we living in real time right now. Where we are right now, currently, when the Lord starts speaking in this manner, he's speaking in real time. Don't look at this as a story. It's not about Abraham. It's really about you. It's about me and it's about you. He's speaking in real time. The Lord ain't speaking to you. Maybe sometimes you can't hear him clearly because you polluted and you got some people in your life that's distorting the voice of the Lord. Look at this now, verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after, look at, after Lot, after, not during, not while, but after Lot has separated from him. What did he tell Abram? Lift your eyes now. Now think about this now, just for a moment. I know Abraham was, this is his nephew now. Not a difficult, it's a difficult situation. He had to separate from a loved one that he was around probably ever since Lot came into the world. He was his brother's son, which is, a close tie, close knit. Father raised him, father died. Now Abraham's responsible. At least Abraham felt. We got to get out of what we feel like we responsible for. You're only responsible for what God assigned you to do. Don't let your emotions override your responsibility or your assignment. And so verse 14, and the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot has separated from him, the place where you are, he said, lift up your eyes. I could imagine, think about this now. Maybe Abram was discouraged for a little while after the departure. If the Lord is telling you to lift up your eyes, because he wants your head to be lifted up. Because at that moment you were discouraged. You felt like you lost your good thing, your bad thing, you just lost, but you have no idea you gained. You're multiplying. Lift up your eyes. He said, do it later. He said, do it now. And look from the place where you are. Now, something that you need to take note of now. Abraham told him in verse 9, he said, look, if you go left, I go right. If you go right, I go left. But if you notice what verse 14 said, he says, look from the place where you are, meaning Abraham never moved. He stayed where he was. Because how else God would tell him to go look northward, southward, eastward, and westward? Obviously, when he went east, Abram stayed where he was. He remained where he was because that's where he was supposed to be. He was never supposed to go left. The problem was, it wasn't Abraham's position in life. It was Lot's position in Abraham's life. Oh, I love that right there. Why you don't need to move. You just need to move the person in your life. You just need to detach yourself from that person, not you move away from the person. Moving to another city is not the answer. The answer is where you are. You just got that person clouding your judgment. Verse 14, I'm going to read it again. Now, look, from the place where you are, tells me right there he remained where he was. Look where you are. Look northward. Look southward. Look eastward, look westward, for all the land which you see, I give it to you and your descendants forever. Forever means forever. Same promises. God was making promises. He didn't even establish a covenant with Abraham yet. He was just steadily making promises. Remember, he told them in Genesis chapter 12, he says, to you, if where you are, I will give it to your descendants. So now he's repeating himself from a different point of view. Now he's telling him to look all over the place. Don't just look one way. Wherever, as far as your eyes can see, that's what I want to give you. And even your eyes can obtain what God wants to do for you. Y'all should shop right there in case you are discouraged at any moment right now. If you're feeling any uncertainty or any discouraged, I'm telling you, if you hear me what I said, because some of y'all missed it in January, I just hope you start listening when I give you instructions and when I give you a word. I'm telling you in real time that if you could just look up. Look up. Look northward. Look eastward. You're not looking, you're not seeing things the way you need to see because your head is down. Your confidence is low. You shattered in pieces because you had to detach yourself from someone that you thought needed to stay in your life, but they were just causing you grief. Look up, look up, look up, look northward. Look, that, I mean, in other words, God was saying, everywhere you turn, that's what I want to do for you. That is a lot to really digest that God is telling you, look at the world. Look at as far as your eyes can see. Look at every direction that you can possibly turn your neck. If you don't got a little cramp in your neck, can you turn your neck? And can you move your neck like a satellite dish? Can you go this way and that way? If God is showing you which way He want to take you or what He want to do, why are you not looking up? But you're looking at self and you're looking at what you thought you can accomplish. I mean, Abraham was 75 years before he found out who he was. Don't tell me you're too old and that things are starting to deplete. You don't know. God could just give you a start, a fresh start right now. At the age you are right now. You're looking at where you are. You're not looking at who God is. So your eyes are already dimmed. You can't go no further than what God show you. Now, I'm going to say this to some people. If you don't have vision, it's because certain things in your life is distorting it. Man, I tell you, I wish you attach your faith to the words that's coming out of my mouth. I wish you attach your mindset to denouncing your old citizenship to the citizenship that God has for you. Nothing changes till nothing changes. If you don't change, don't expect nothing else to change. You want God to change, but you don't want to change. You want to remain where you are in the mindset that you're in. You don't want to change. You want to stay where you are. You want to think the way you are. You still want to have the same conversations. You still want to entertain foolish thoughts. You still want to have bitterness and resentment. You still don't want to be detangling yourself from certain individuals. So that's why you can't see anything past where you are. You're your own worst nightmare. Don't be blaming Lot. You need to blame your decision maker and put Lot in your life. Verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot, after. You see this? After. I'm going to keep saying this. And the Lord said to Abram, after. Lot has separated from him. Lift your eyes now. Look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Verse 16, God continues, I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can be numbered. Now, God was telling him something he knew it was impossible. You can't number them. Now, don't look at this story as children and descendants. You can look at it if that's what you believe in God for, or if that's what He promised you for, but it's so much revelation and what God want to do. Abraham didn't have no financial crisis during this time. He was just childless. Abraham didn't have no problem with finances. We already found out in chapter 13, he had tents, he had silver, and he had gold. He had livestock. Verse 2 tells me that. Look at chapter 13, verse 2. And Abraham was what? Can y'all say that with me? Abraham was what? Okay, let me say it
Very
again.
rich.
Say it again.
Abraham was very rich.
Very rich. It described it. He was very rich. So finances wasn't the problem. He was childless at 75. He didn't have purpose at 75. But at some point when God called him, he didn't have livestock either. So he was broke, childless, and no purpose. What you can do is bless God along the journey, because now he got two out of the three. He's finding his purpose and he's rich. Now all God to seal a deal, he just need to bless him with the child and the descendants. Come on, give God praise for that by itself. That if you are along the way, because a lot of times people don't even know they get blessed. Somebody have to tell you, do you realize you get blessed? Do you sometimes people don't even know they're in the blessing because they're in it. Somebody have to kind of tell you, do you recall where you were 5 years ago? Do you recall you were where you were last year? Look where you are now. So, because all of us, what we want to do, we want God to throw everything at us at one shot. No, it's the process that you got to understand. Abraham had nothing at 75. He didn't have no purpose. He didn't know who he was. He didn't have no assignment. His eyes wasn't open. He never heard the voice of the Lord. Right there, that's damaged goods. I like to say this, if I'm not misspelled, I don't want to misspell. But when you want to meet somebody, why don't you ask them, do they got a relationship? Like, why would I want somebody who cannot hear the voice of the Lord? Why put yourself through that agony that they can't hear? And then, on top of that, it's not that they can't hear. Sometimes they just don't want to hear. You remember the chapter that the Lord says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? But that wasn't the first thing he said, because they rejected too. What happens is sometimes people just don't want to confront the real deal, because they'd rather just kind of like, let me just kind of settle with this. Let me go back here. Where was I? Last chapter here. Verse chapter 14. Where was I? Where was I? Oh, yeah,
Genesis,
verse
verse
14.
14 through 16.
14. Yeah, there we go. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had this, I'm gonna keep saying this, because you know what? It's not gonna happen to after your lot. It's not gonna keep, you're not gonna ever hear the voice of the Lord until after your lot. And your lots don't always have to be a person, it could be an ungodly characteristics. Don't narrow it down to people, because everybody don't have a person issue. Some people have characteristic flaws that God needs you to separate from. Some of you have emotional flaws that God wants you to separate from. Until you get over that, then he can speak to you. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot separated from him, lift your eyes now and look toward the place where you are. Northward, southward, eastward, westward, for the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise. Now he's telling him to arise and walk the land through the length. Now you see why it's so important to put your footprints on the places that God has promised you. First, he's telling him to use his eyes. The next thing he's telling him to use his feet. Because what he's telling him to exercise what you see. Okay, man, oh Lord, have mercy. That's why I get in the habit sometimes. Whenever I'm getting ready to take something or take some territory, I tend to walk around it. I did it with the house I'm living in. I did it with the land that we obtained. And then I'm going to keep doing it with more. Before you get it, you got to believe it and then walk it. I remember saying this to y'all and way, way, way back. I said, if you believe in God for a particular job, then go to the job before you take the interview. and walk it. If the Lord got it for you, if the Lord's placed it in your life, then sometimes you got to take territory over that area. And myself and First Lady can bear witness with this, because when we were still in Conyers, before we even came over to Sandy Springs, we went in the Georgia Tech area. But I didn't even know that I was going to be not far from her in the place I'm in now. So I was taking territory, didn't even know what I was taking territory. She knew what she was taking territory. But see, when you're taking territory, you don't even know what you're taking. I'm trying to get you to a place where you start being so churchy that you can start believing the God of increase, that you're getting outside of your mindset, that you could just start believing, not based on where you are, but where you are. God, like God, he told Abraham, he says, look from where you are, but don't look from where you are, but look for where you are. Look up. You might be where you are, but look up. I'm trying to get y'all, man. I'm telling you, we can obtain some things quicker than normal. I've been saying this for a long time, and for a minute we kind of slowed the train down. I used to say express, and we saw things moving. It's just express. But now we're starting to see, God is starting to say, let me show you. Let me show you. Because believing and telling somebody what God is going to do, because everybody's faith ain't in the same space. So you got to nearly kind of choke them out of the mindset that they're in. Like, girl, boy, do you see what God is doing, what he's trying to get through to you? Lift your eyes up. Your spirit is hanging like low fruit, man. Look up your eyes. Man, we're gonna get out of this religious dance. You're gonna have to start. I don't know what churches you come from. I don't know what you've seen, but God is trying to do a new thing in your life, and he's trying to speak to you in real time, if you let him. I'm gonna go back over this again. I'm gonna be dead honest. How many people really listened to that January 14th message? I'm gonna keep going back over it. And don't be giving me no excuses why you have, because see, that's the part where you're not really receiving instructions. You're not, oh, see, I'm gonna tell you, the instructions come in so many different facets. If the man of God's telling you, you might want to listen to this. You know where I got it from? The Spirit of the Lord. While I was on vacation, he still wanted me to make sure I'm connected to his voice. Listen to that message. Son, I think you forgot. And so when I listened to it and I listened to it, my mind was blown away, because I was saying something that really, I'm out on an island by myself. I'm like, really, if I thought about it, I'm going to have to be really courageous to say something that God is saying. I need you to go down to the south and walk the land, take some spies with you. So he was given specific instructions then, and I followed it. Obedience is key. You're going to be left behind in so many ways if you don't follow the voice of God. And if you're not in a place where you're not sure, that's why God put a person in your life to give you that space and that courage to how to define his voice. Don't be so churchy that you just going through life just day to day. Well, I mean, you know, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. If you come around me, you're going to want to win, because I'm going to make sure I take that slothful spirit out of you. You ain't going to be able to hang around me too long. If you don't have the kind of spirit that God is attaching yourself, you're not going to be able to hang around too long. I'm going to be honest with you. You're going to find yourself lost. And you're going to find every excuse is why you're not where you need to be. It ain't because God don't have the promises for you, just not following the footprint. I'm almost closing. Oh my gosh, it's 9:17. Y'all let me go this far? Jesus, y'all something else, man. Y'all know you're supposed to stop me. God Almighty, man. Then Abraham moved I'm gonna just read this last verse. I was supposed to go any further, but then Abraham moved his tent and he went and dwelt by the terebinth tree and Mamre, whatever, and which are in the Hebron, I got my glasses, and built an altar. Yeah, okay, so look, he built another altar there to the Lord yet again. That is letting you know that he's continuing on in his relationship. Every time the Lord spoke, Abraham established an altar. Do you have a place in your home that you go visit where you meet God at? Do you have any place where it's like, this is my space? Now, by all means, you still walk around the house if you need to, but there's supposed to be one little space that you have where you and God speak. Do you have that? Do you have that? I don't care how small your place is. It could be your own closet. Do you have a place where you have established a relationship where you and God have some dialogue? That's the place where it's just you and God. Everybody in this ministry should have a space and a place that you can meet God, and where he can meet you and speak to you or direct you. And in some cases, if he don't speak to you, he will reveal it to you later. Don't get disheartened because you don't hear from him. But I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times, it ain't because you don't hear. You're just not listening. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much, Father, for this word tonight. I'm praying, God, that these, your people, begin to decipher, discern, and understand your voice. I'm praying that their heart, their minds become willing to receive instructions. I'm praying that they get to a place where they can hate disobedience and love obedience. Show them who you are, God. Continue to show them who you are. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the gifts and the provisions you've been giving us. We thank you, Lord, that all needs are being met in every household. We thank you that the needs are being met in our ministry. The goals are being achieved. We thank you that you're supplying all our needs according to your riches and glory. By Christ Jesus, I speak life. I speak blessings. I speak increase, but I also speak obedience to your instructions. I speak willing hearts. I denounce warped minds, emotional ties. In Yeshua's name, amen, amen. God bless you all.